Yo, what's good, Gen 1 squad, Go squad? We are back with another pod. Happy Tuesday to you. Hey, I'm with some friends. What's up, y'all? And we got the one, the only, the Brenda, the Palmer.
The Brenda, the Palmer.
But shout out to Brenda. If you don't know already, Life and Perspective podcast. It's amazing. What season are you on?
Season three.
Yes. And yeah, so go check it out. I think it was that your first episode?
You were my first episode.
Amen.
Kicked it off.
You want to see your guy Ty in Brenda's pod, go check it out.
Yes.
But no, man, we're so grateful to have you with us. Thanks for coming to sit with us in the Go. This is like our clubhouse, except it's not at all. This room serves as so many things.
All the things.
You guys have no idea. Trust me, this serves as so many things. But today, we're going to talk about the trap of offense. Ooh. And I ain't going to lie to y'all. I've been offended, and the thing is, I know I'm going to be offended again, but how do we navigate it? I think it's such an inevitable thing in life, and we've all navigated it, and might even be navigating offense right now. There might, quite honestly, be someone or something that you're offended with in this current moment, and I believe that God's going to give you tools through this conversation, and us, quite frankly, tools. But I want to ask you guys this question. When was the last time an offense had an impact on your life? Like, think about a time where you, Rick already has something right off the dome. He's like, bro, I ain't gonna lie to you. I walked in here and you said something crazy to me.
We're going there. No, I actually was making a face because I was thinking, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm
sorry. Wow, you did all that. That's just right. So I can think in public.
Yeah. That's what you're here for, man. You're here to think.
Wow.
Think and speak.
Well, it makes sense.
We'll cut it all out later if we need to.
Wow, thank you for
this
that.
This could never see the light of day.
I feel so comforted now.
This is podcasting.
Last time I was, you said last time some offense had affected my life?
Yeah, when was the last time offense had an impact on your life?
An impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of us navigate through, if we're not offended ourselves, we're constantly navigating through life with people that are offended. Wow. So we have to navigate and respond gently to certain people. Like, you get in relationship with people, you know what their triggers are, you know what their buttons are, and you push those buttons, it causes offense, it causes some type of reaction. So I feel like that's how I can think of it right now. Like, I'm always navigating something or someone that could be possibly offended. So I have to be intentional about what I say.
Yeah. That's strong. Yeah. We're in a very sensitive generation. Like, I feel like people are very, very sensitive. And anything and everything could set someone off. I mean, you talk about cancel culture. That stems from offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would we cancel
very
somebody?
Much so. Yeah.
You did something that offended us or a community or a group of people or a whatever, and you're canceled. It's offense. So you're right, you know, navigating it from the place of other people are offended, but also, like, you know, even simple things like our own relationships. Like, for me, trying to think of a specific instance recently, but I think anytime I have been offended, even in relationship, like with friends, like even in relationship with us or in relationship with my wife, like if I have a moment where I get offended, what it does to me is the impact it has on me is it makes me close off. It makes me not want to talk to you, really. Mm-hmm. It makes me move a little differently around you because I'm like, I got something against you right now because you did something to hurt me and I don't really want to be around you. And it affects our relationships.
Yeah.
It can damage the way that we see one another. And so, you know, it is a trap. It does have an impact on our lives. But I want to hear, like, what has it done to you guys? Like, how's offense impacted you?
I think offense is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you think about the definition of it, it's the annoyance or resentment towards someone who's done something beneath your standard. Mm-hmm. So that means if you do something that I feel like is beneath the standard and how I want to be treated, I can choose to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, because your question was like, how has offense affected your life? I make a decision on whether or not I choose to be offended.
Facts.
And the moment I choose that you didn't quite meet the standard of how I expected you to act, respond, treat, mm-hmm. show up in this space, I can make a choice to either say, I'm off you and change how I deal with you. And then that becomes the lens in which I view you and other people if I don't address it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could go, the highest thought. We love that.
Yeah.
And I could go, you really didn't, maybe there's something you got going on that maybe had absolutely nothing to do with me. And maybe that's why you didn't quite meet the standard of how I want to be treated today. Yeah. Or maybe you don't even recognize that what you did was offensive. So instead of choosing to be offended, I'm going to address it. And so I think, like, I feel like I've experienced life in the last couple of years not as offended because it's a choice. Mm-hmm. I could choose to address and say, hey, you did this thing to me and it made me feel this way, and give you an opportunity to correct it. Yeah. And if you don't, then now we got to make some decisions. Maybe we don't relate the same way we do. Doesn't mean I'm offended. Exactly. It just means that you aren't quite meeting the standard in which you should, in which I require you. Mm-hmm. In order to be in my circle, in my sphere. Mm-hmm. And so I think because of that, and that comes with maturity.
Absolutely.
Because when someone hurts your feelings, the first thing we want to do is get mad and guard ourselves to ensure we don't experience that level of pain again. But you said earlier, like, we've all lived offended. We've all been offended. We've also offended.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so because I recognize that there's also some things that I do and some standards of people I don't meet, then I offer a level of grace when I am offended, you know what I'm saying? And so I think if we don't learn to process it that way, it will be a trap in which you ruin good moments of your life. Because even if Rick does something to me and he offends me and I'm good on him, when I have a conversation with Ty and he does something that sounds like what Rick did,
it's now gonna make you think
in every relationship I enter into, I'm taking off one person's offense that I could have just dealt with or kept in that space and not attached it to every person that is like them. Yeah. It's like, and some things that happen to us in our lives that offend us, we can't help. Like, sometimes maybe, like, I didn't have dad there, or I didn't have mom there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that hit an area of my heart. So then I'm dealing with rejection, or then I'm dealing with abandonment. If I don't deal with that, I'm going to be easily offended in situations where I come in a group of people and I feel like, ain't nobody talking to me.
Girl. That's really good.
And really, like, did you say hello?
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say, though, in a way, offense is like a cancer.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because when you allow offense to come into your life, you're now projecting things on other people that might not even have actually 100% offended you.
Yeah.
Because maybe at one point in your life, you were offended and it was valid. Like, it actually was, you know, something that wasn't right, or maybe it hurt your feelings, or maybe it made you feel some type of way, but you never processed it. You never healed from it. So just like cancer, if it goes untreated, it eventually spreads.
Absolutely.
And then you have resentment, bitterness. You have all kinds of things, and you can't show up in the world free because it's a chain. It's a trap. It's keeping you bound. It's keeping you stuck. It's keeping you held. Yeah. And you made me think about this proverb, which I was going to share later, but I'll share it now. It says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. Literally, it's to my glory. It's a gift. It's glorious to be able to overlook an offense. And where you were saying it's maturity. Yeah. So a person's wisdom yields patience. So having patience with that person and being able to say, you know what, like, maybe I didn't see it from the way they saw it.
Yeah.
Or being able to have a conversation with them. But what about y'all, Mariah, Rib?
It humanizes a person. Did you say Rib?
Is that what
that's my wife's nickname.
That's why we get going over that.
But I was like,
it's so quick. It's so sharp. Wow. Anyway, it humanizes a person because you realize that, you know, something that I had to learn, and I think a lot of people talk about it, is like when you have parent relationships, like, you learn as an adult that, oh, they're just like me. They make mistakes just like me. They have, you know, their own ways of navigating things just like me, and they're flawed just like me. And I think that it's important to kind of have that lens on when you approach people in life and circumstances, to see them as human. They, you know, honestly, I don't know if anybody is fully equipped, like, going back to what you said about being at the standard or the level that you want them to be all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna do that. You know what I mean? You yourself can't even live up to the standard
of your own
that
self.
You want. Right. Thank you. So I feel like, you know, it's humanizing them. I also think how it has impacted my life, it's kind of interesting because I think that because you're told so often, don't be offended, you don't sometimes even realize that you are, or you quickly, at least for me, like, justify like what a person has done. And I think that I had to learn that anger and offense are two different things. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because it is okay to be angry. Like, the Bible gives us like a permission slip, like be angry but sin not. Uh-huh. Yes. So like he gave you a permission slip, but what happens is like if you don't allow yourself to understand that actually hurt and I'm, you know, and I'm angry about it, then, you know, you're just like, oh, you know, I'm cool, I'm fine, everything's good, but it's still a cancer underneath the surface.
You're still offended.
Yeah.
You
just swept it under the rug.
You will say that it's fine.
You're still mad.
Yeah. You have to sit. And so the uncomfortable part is you kind of have to sit with it and go through the process and go through the sifting. It doesn't mean to sit with it like, oh, I'm going to make it my identity now. Yeah, whatever, man. I'm going to walk through. And like, it's not like that. But it's like you have to actually be like, why did it hurt me? Mm-hmm. What was it? What was the thought? What did it connect to? You know what I mean? So it's important to also acknowledge when something has made you upset and when something is angry, so that way you can sit with it, process it. And then that's when you, I think, get the wisdom that says, you know, okay, you know, maybe looking at this person's point of view, you know, and dealing with whatever they had going on their side, you know, that was the best that they could offer me at the moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Some people have no filter or whatever, you know, because that's the way they were raised. But, you know, I think that it's really important to also acknowledge the offense. Because, yeah, I could say I'm cool all day long and have high blood pressure and stress because it's still living within me. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's important to address it, understanding the difference between anger and offense, because I think that anger is a reaction, but offense is like an action. You know what I mean? Like, I think that anger is like, okay, this is what happened to me. Now I'm angry. Offense is like, I'm walking in and dealing with people in offense. Mm-hmm. And you can spot it like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, like, to your point, I think it becomes offense when it goes unaddressed.
Right.
Because I also think it's not enough to just address it within yourself.
Yes.
Because we create our own narrative. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to deal, you're like, this made me mad. Mm-hmm. Most of the time we talk ourselves up into like, oh, I can't believe they tried me. You know, like we having all these conversations and then we'll go grab another person who will stamp our offense instead of just going to the person.
Thank you.
Like even if you feel like they did what you feel they did, it's gonna become offense if it goes unaddressed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because now you're gonna always be side-eyeing them. Even if you say, oh, I'm good, I'm fine, it didn't bother me. It did. Stop lying.
Yeah.
Like, just say it did.
And
then address it. And then the moment you address it, now we make decisions.
Right.
Now we decide, okay, maybe I cannot be around this person because of where they take me. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like what they did was trash.
Yeah.
And no. Yeah. Unacceptable.
But then how would they know if they're not told?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're gonna keep offending you. People become serial offenders because you don't talk to them.
Yeah.
You don't tell them, hey man, like when you did that, it actually made me feel this type of way.
For sure.
And so we've got hurt people hurting people. It's the most common thing that happens is we're all broken and we're all experiencing something. And so yes, you make up narratives in your head that aren't even true about people that, quite frankly, especially if they're people that you're doing life with that love you and actually do have the best intent for you, and they may just have done something and you might have misread it or whatever the case may be, but if you don't have a conversation, there's no healing.
Yeah.
And like 70% of the time, it ain't really what we thought it was.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody is more intentionally not, out to be like,
I'm gonna do this to make you mad.
Some people
are mad.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I really wanna say 90% of the time, nobody's even checking for you that much.
Yeah.
But I think like, that's why a conversation is always necessary. Like even the Bible tells us in Matthew 18, like somebody does something to you, go to him first alone.
Right.
And then if they don't listen to you, you know, there's a process to go through. But I think there is some safety. I think also we want to be peacemakers, not just peacekeepers, right? Keeping the peace is like, I'm going to just keep this to myself. I'm good. I don't disrupt nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? No, go make peace. Right. You mad? Right. Say you mad. Mm-hmm. Let them say whether or not they meant to make you mad or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if you out here offending people, be real about it. Be like, you know what? I meant to do that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if we could all just be honest, life would be better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talking to people is like the biggest thing. And then what I love too is having like your safe community to talk to about it first. People that, one, aren't going to judge you, because there are specific people that I'll go to that I'm like, I'm going to just be completely honest with you. I have some certain thoughts about this situation.
Yeah.
And just tell me what you hear, because right. I trust your discernment and you know my heart. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk to those people, they're able to come back to you and be like, ooh, you do sound a little offended.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Have you looked at it in this person's perspective? Because mm-hmm. all the things that they're carrying right now, don't you think that's why they showed up in the way they did?
Right.
So having community is so important when it comes to offense.
For sure.
Because mm-hmm. you can't hear yourself. Because like yeah. you were saying, mm-hmm. you make up all the excuses to make it sound like you were right. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh yeah, that's why I did what I did, because it all made sense.
Right.
I love that though, because then it makes you think, okay, I need somebody that's neutral, because you could also go to somebody who's a smack talker.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, see, that's what I've been talking about. They crazy.
They didn't
I don't
the
like
same
them anyway.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, no, they did not.
Yeah.
Shut up.
All right. I have to do this because both of you guys essentially quoted it, but Ephesians 4:26, the whole thing in Ephesians 4 talks about like unity and all this kind mm-hmm. of stuff. But Ephesians 4 at the end, it talks about what you said. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working his hands what is good. That's not the most relevant part of this. The most relevant part of this. Let me just back it up.
That's all right.
Ephesians 4:26-28:32. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary of edification, that you may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with you for all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God forgave you in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all those things that it was talking about, it's very easy for them to come in when you get offended.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy for you to be angry with the person and be upset with the person. But the point is, if you don't talk to them, if you don't have a conversation with them, if you don't say something to them, what's going to be a result? You're going to probably be bitter.
Mm-hmm.
You might have wrath and be able to just pop off on this person or on somebody who didn't deserve it. And you might be angry and carry that into the next day because you didn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're heavy and you're carrying around bitterness and you're carrying around offense, and it's actually affecting you.
Yeah.
It's not even affecting the other person.
Right.
Because if you don't say nothing to them, they ain't doing nothing.
They don't know.
It's just sitting inside you, making you mad and angry and upset. Mm-hmm. And then you can't move in efficiency.
Yeah.
You can't be productive because you're mad. Your mind's full of anger.
No, that's so real. I think too, it's really important to talk about it. I remember when I first moved to LA, and I would be like, you know, like I'm good, until like life was not going great. And then I recognized I was offended, because I'm like, I don't feel like my life should be like this off the heels of somebody else's decisions. And then to your point, they're living their life and I'm miserable because I've refused to deal with the offense that I had hidden in my heart. And so I think also we have to recognize it comes from a place of pride, because offense, you mad because you feel like, how dare somebody do that to me?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it comes from like this prideful, like who are you to do this to me kind of place. And you can get really dangerous. But what I recognize is that because I didn't deal with it, it then became my view in which how I related to God. Then like,
totally,
there was like this mistrust I had with God because I wasn't dealing with the mistrust of people, because I failed to deal with my offense. So to your point about it being like a cancer, is like it starts to affect every area of your life. So then you don't really, because it's really your feelings are hurt. Like, and it's okay to say that. Like, it's better to say that than to let it, you know, transition to like anger and rage, and now you bitter, and now nobody wants to be around you because ill. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes you that kind of person. And so I think like it's really important, and quickly, because the thing is, the enemy plays on the dead space. So whatever you feel, I mean, I get processing, but don't take long, because the more you process, because you're mad, you've opened a door for the enemy to fill the gaps. And now you've created all of these stories. And by the time you go talk to a person to address it, you've already made up in your mind what happened.
Absolutely.
So even if they're saying like, man, I'm so sorry, that was not my intention, you're like, yeah, all right.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you're offended.
Exactly.
And so I think like it's one of those things that you have to hit quickly, because if not, it festers and it becomes something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Forgive. And forgive quickly.
Yeah.
Make it like this.
And
like, you need to get into the rhythm of forgiveness so quickly that the moment you get offended, it's like, all right, I forgive him.
Yeah.
Like, and sure, yes, process it. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's true. But recognize that unforgiveness is only going to weigh you down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's only going to make it harder for you. It's only going to make you see God differently. It's only going to make you see others differently. Because if you don't deal with it, if you're not quick to forgive, then now you, to your point, there's an open door for the enemy.
Yeah.
And if that enemy can get in there, what else can he do?
For sure. Yeah.
What else can he do to your life?
Absolutely.
He can wreak havoc in your life because you left the door open.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, I mean, forgive lest you know, what is it? Judge not lest you be judged.
Lest you be judged. You know? But it also says if you don't forgive others,
I won't forgive you of your trespasses.
Yeah. Now that's scary.
Now
that's scary. I need the
Lord to forgive me, all right? So I don't got time to be holding other people because I don't need them to be holding me. Yeah. Yeah. All right?
It's a need.
It's forgiven, all right? Because I don't got time.
Yeah. No, I think too.
And I think like, We've created this thing, you know, it's like, I'm a match energy. You know, we do that. Like, you come at me wrong. Mm-hmm.
Keep that same energy.
Keep that same energy. No, you, exactly. Don't. Keep your same energy. Mm-hmm. Because if someone can change how you move, I would have to question if you were really being authentic before that moment.
Wow. Well, yeah.
And so it's like, because when something hits your heart and you switch up, that means you have some ulterior motives in there. Because if I can't still rock with you the same way I was before you started moving a little funny, then this wasn't really about you ever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was too much about you and that's why this is happening. You know what I'm saying? So I think like being able to say like, no matter what someone does, even if they did offend me, it's not going to change my heart. It's not going to change how I move. It's not going to change how I love. It's not going to change how I show up in relationships because some things hurt us and then we start building walls and now we're guarded and people miss out on the gift that we're supposed to be.
Yeah. For sure. And it's the same thing with God too. Cause I love that you touched on like how sometimes if you don't deal with, when you don't deal with offensive people, then it does translate over into your relationship with God. And then sometimes it doesn't even have to be because of people. Sometimes something's happening, you're upset with God.
Yeah, you're like, why did you let this happen,
now, how
bro?
Did you, knowing that you're good, you know, and like that is a legit thing that I feel like a lot of people experience in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people have like we seen in the church, I'm like, are you really worshiping? But I think it's because... if you don't process that, just kind of, you know, the other thing I was talking about, if you don't process how that affected your, you know, your view towards God and your relationship with God, you can't truly worship him.
Yeah.
And I think that's for me, when I realized that offense also affects my worship, because literally like, what is it? What is worship? It's being open.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be open if you have pride. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the Lord put us in a predicament where it's like, if you don't forgive, like you will not experience the fullness of who I am. You won't experience the fullness of who you are and you won't experience the fullness of life. And he exemplified it. He was like, let me show. And just in case you thought that I was just putting that pressure on you and it's not fair, I'm gonna go to the cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not even that he had to endure being betrayed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not void of understanding how we feel. When someone close to you, he's literally on his way to die for us. And Peter is 5 feet away saying, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he could have been like, oh, you don't know me?
Right.
Bet. I don't know none of y'all. Hey, I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like when I started, we wouldn't be here to have this conversation today.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying? Like he tells him, hey, bro, he said, actually, all of y'all are going to leave me.
Yeah.
But he still makes a decision to go to the cross for us. And I think that is what has helped me with holding offense. It's like, man, bro, I miss it all the time. And he's still in that moment on his way says, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Even me, 2,000 years later, he's like, forgive them for they don't know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
We offend God more than we are ever offended by people.
Oh, yeah.
And he still loves us just the same. So how dare I not offer someone the same grace?
Mm-hmm.
How dare I not offer someone the same leeway? How dare I not offer them, you know what? I'm going to let you rock because me and Steph say this thing all the time. Nobody would ever hurt me from a place of wholeness. It is their broken areas that are causing me pain.
Right.
And I got broken areas too. Mm-hmm. So the least I could do is empathize with, this ain't even the real you. And you still on your journey there. So I'm going to offer you some space.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean some grace. Doesn't mean I'm going to offer you back into, you know what I'm saying? Like I have to make necessary decisions to guard my heart.
Right.
But I'm not going to hold you to one mistake and make that define your character and who you are.
100%.
Yeah. As... you kind of said it a little bit and it sparked and helped me like form an idea in my head. Like when you think about when God gave Jesus to us to receive him, for us to receive Jesus, he had to give for he gave his only begotten son, right? So that's like a formula. Like if you think about it, right? He gave us, we have to forgive in order to receive the gift. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was, I was trying to put it together in my head, but for he gave, so we have to forgive.
Yeah.
And think about how much he forgives.
Exactly.
Yeah. I cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. God is consistently and continually forgiving us. But that doesn't mean that we should, if anything, it makes us say, man, I need to be better at forgiving. Like, I need to get really good at it. And Jesus is the perfect example. He's the perfect example, because how could somebody who literally was beat, stripped down, you know, abandoned by all of his friends,
undeservingly
walk away without being offended? And some of his last words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like, how incredible must you be to be able to say that? And so if he is the standard, we know we're not perfect. We know we're not going to, but he is the standard. And he's saying, yo, I gave y'all the blueprint. I did this thing and I fought hard, and guess what? I was unscathed. So I know you're going to be offended. I know you're going to be hurt. I know that they might slap your cheek, but guess what I say? Turn the other cheek and let them slap that one. How crazy is that? But it's how we should live our lives. If we're trying to be who God called us to be, because he recognizes that we can't live this life and be who he called us to be if we have unforgiveness and bitterness and hurt and pain, because it blocks us. It's like a block for the flow. The Holy Spirit can't move in your life if you're offended, hurt, anger, all that stuff. He can't flow. It blocks him. So that's why we need to look at his example and let forgiveness be the thing that takes those walls down and takes that barrier down and takes down that blockage, so that we can be able to flow and move and be effective for God.
For sure. And I'm glad you brought the Holy Spirit up. I don't want to be the first one to do it. But it is only through the Holy Spirit we can forgive. And he says, I'll send you an advocate that will lead you into all truth. And so it's almost like I can't filter what people do through my own thought process, because I would never be able to fully. It is going to make me mad. You know what I'm saying? But if I submit it to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, give me wisdom and insight and knowledge on how to navigate this, and lead me into the truth of what's behind it. Because what we fail to realize is, as believers, our life is about making sure people meet Jesus, right? And that they grow in relationship with him. So even an offended person is an assignment for you. A person that offends you is also an assignment for you. So I actually don't get to respond how I want to respond, because there's you are an assignment. If you are a part of my life, if there's any engagement we've ever had, even if I don't know you and you offended me, you're an assignment. And so I have a responsibility to show up like Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can empower me to do that. Because if I show up how Brenda wants to show up, you're probably going to get these hands. You know what I'm saying?
Very well might get the hands. Brenda's from Chicago, y'all. She's from Chi-Town. She's from the Windy City.
That's what
these
hooks
windy.
Listen, you know what
these hooks windy.
Real quick, you wouldn't even know.
Well,
you
know, maybe not that. I hope it,
maybe not
Brenda,
that.
I hope
maybe
it doesn't look like that. I hope and pray that the hooks don't look like that. But no, we know.
But I'm saying that to say, like, my life is being surrendered isn't just about calling and purpose. It's also about how I respond to things that have been done to me. And so I even have to surrender to the Holy Spirit, my feelings, my emotions. I can acknowledge them, only to remind me that I need God in this situation. And so I think, like, because we, in our own strength, we can't. In our own strength, we're going to be offended. We're going to be mad. We're not going to forgive. But when I surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead and to lace my response with love, even if I am hurt, then we can get somewhere in this, because I have to recognize that I have a responsibility as a believer, and even when something has been done to me.
I think something that I like to double check before I do response, that, like, when I know it's probably not going to be in love, is, am I taking this personal? Like I was saying before, whatever this person is going through, am I thinking too much about what I'm going through and just pointing the finger all the way at me? And then the second thing was love. When the Bible talks about love, it says love keeps no record of wrong. So what are we keeping track of? What are you keeping track of, you know, against this person? Because when you go into that conversation, when they kind of start to reveal their heart, you can think of something else. And that right there is a sign, like, now you're keeping a record of this person that's trying their best just like you.
Yeah.
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 And I ain't trying to keep no record because I don't want the Lord to keep one on me.
Oh, right. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'd go to jail.
Erase it. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget it forever. You say, actually, you didn't even do nothing to me. I don't remember.
But that's powerful. And I think there's two things we can look at as a template for how to forgive or how to get over offense. Mm-hmm. And one is, I always pray this prayer like David prayed. And whenever you read the Psalms, he would express his anger, his frustrations, his emotions. He would be very real. Like there was something even as far as to say, like, I can't stand the wicked, like consume them, like this, that he went on a tangent. But he started it out with, you could tell he was offended because he said, God, you know my heart. You know my ways. You understand me. You know everything about me. And then he went on this huge tangent, but then he closed it by saying this. And I look at it as, this is how I should pray. He said, Father, search my heart, know my ways.
Yeah.
Reveal to me any wicked way that's within me. Mm-hmm. So it's always reflective. It's always turn it back on yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the second tool is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me the areas of my life that I am offended and hurt and angry so that I can navigate and give forgiveness, have a conversation if a conversation's needed, and also be able to move effectively because I know in my own strength, I couldn't do it. I can't do this in my own strength. Yeah. I will fail. Yeah. I will cut somebody out.
For sure.
I will do something else because I'm mad. But the thing is, if we lean into the Holy Spirit, we trust him. He's the divine counselor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we pay for therapists, but we got the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, hey, listen, if you need therapists, go to therapy, bro. Mm-hmm. And sis. But the Holy Spirit is your divine counselor, and he's a gift from God to help you navigate any and all situations that you might run into.
Yeah, and I think like some ways to, I guess, identify if you are offended. One of them is like everything irritates you about that person. Like it's just, that's a sure sign. And I know I'm like, oops, something hit my heart because everything you say is making me annoyed. Mm-hmm. Like stop talking. Your presence is now starting to annoy me, which means I am offended somewhere, something you've done.
Somewhere,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And usually like for me, I could be really snappy or I could shut down. It's like, I don't really have in between. And so then to your point about the search in my heart, then I go like, okay, God, what is that?
Yeah.
Because it could actually have nothing to do with the people you're around. It could have been somebody 5 months ago that you just didn't deal with it or something your parents said that just rubbed you the wrong way. And now there's been a door, you know what I'm saying? And now that's become your lens in which you're living life. And so I think just some like practical ways to identify like, maybe I need to do a heart check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask y'all this in closing then, because this is important. Because the facts are, we're going to get offended again. There's going to be an opportunity for you to be offended. We've said a lot of great things. But if you could tell somebody a tip on how to navigate that offense when it comes, like just how would you navigate that offense when it comes beyond the things we've already said?
Ooh, something stuck out to me so much. When Mama Tina spoke this, I forgot what community group, whatever it was, but she said, if you are in a situation with someone else, pray for them as if you're praying for yourself. And that changes your perspective so much because you have to think about your own heart if you're going through the same situation. Mm. So that helps.
Pray for them as if you're praying for yourself. Yeah.
I don't know why everybody started looking at me.
They all look at Ren. Everybody felt like Ren had something to say.
No, I was in agreement. I think that, this is such a sensitive topic. I think that you have to acknowledge it. I think that for one, you have to get to a place where you are comfortable with being hurt. You know what I mean? Like being naked and being like, yeah, it did hurt me. And not seeing that as a weakness. You know what I mean? Seeing that as a strength. I was able to identify this. And now I think it is, you said something that stuck out to me was just like, sometimes we make things so personal and most times it's actually never about us.
Yeah.
And it's really about them. I can think of so many situations in my life that the action felt so like, you know, in my mind, it was so direct and it's because of me and it's because they don't like me or because they have it out for me. And it was like, it was their choice. It was where they were at and their mindset and mentality. Mm-hmm. And it actually, at the end of the day, had nothing to do with me. So with that being said, see them for where they're at. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned in my marriage and everything else is like, you have to understand that people don't think the same way as you, and mm-hmm. they don't feel or communicate the same way as you. I have an amazing sister, and I think a breakthrough moment in our relationship is when we both literally just took a second out of nowhere to acknowledge that we will never probably see things the same way. We mm-hmm. can get to the same conclusion as far as our values, but the way that we get there are like totally different. Mm-hmm. It could be night and day. And for years we've spent thinking that each other was crazy. I would be like, Taya, you're crazy. Taya would be like, Brynn, you're crazy. Like literally there was no in between. We were just crazy. But then I was like, oh, actually you're not crazy. Or actually, you know, maybe you're not a bad person. It's just that the way that you approach life and the way that I approach life are two completely different things. And I need to see and recognize that you're thinking this is your best. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You're thinking that you're protecting me, or you think that you're, you know, you're protecting the greater good, whatever. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it might have come across in a way that felt damaging and painful to me. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that you understand that the person that you are engaging with that may have offended you is still a person, and they still have their own unique life experiences, can at least help to level the playing field instead of you seeing them over you trying to attack you. It's like, no, we're actually on the same level. We're actually both human. Mm-hmm. And they may not, they don't even have, first of all, they don't even have the power to bring you down. You know what I mean? You allow yourself to be brought down by their power. So put them back on the same level, put them back on the same playing field, and see them as like, okay, you know, you have your thing going on, I have my thing going on. And if I choose to allow who you are to become, you know, or the way that you approach me to become, you know, in my head, thinking that it is sadistic or just, you know, painful, that's your approach. It wasn't that. It was just the way that they expressed themselves. So that was a really long answer.
That's okay, but it's true. You have to see that every single human being is going to think and act and move differently than one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to become people that are able to understand, I might need to step into their shoes. I might need to understand them. Am I seeing it from their perspective? Because if we only think from our perspective, we're going to be limited anyways. Mm-hmm. So learn to be able to say, hey, man, like maybe mm-hmm. they saw it this way. Maybe they saw it that way. And ask other people, like, what did you think? But
mm-hmm. yeah, you know, you said perspective a lot of times. Reminds me of a podcast.
Perspective
called Life in Perspective.
Life in Perspective.
I don't know. Might be someone in this pod.
Check it out.
Anyway, we're right along. Perspective, image, all of those things were kind of helping me shape together my idea again. I'm just pulling from what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing a lot of listening in this podcast. And it's like, I think the thing that really is sticking out to me is like God calls us, he made us in his image, mm-hmm. right? Now, while all of us are made uniquely, right, we all have similarities, mm-hmm. right? And when I was growing up, my parents would always say something to me like, if this person irritates you, that's highlighting something that you might need to be mm-hmm. working on, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes you could be getting offended with somebody because of the thing that you have not overcame, right?
Right.
And now you're taking out the thing that you need to be worked on. Mm-hmm. out on them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a specific instance where I'm just like, yo, this person irritates me because they're so loud and they're so outgoing. Like their personality is so big, but God made me that way, mm-hmm. right? And I'm mm-hmm. like, maybe I need to be looking at what I'm going through mm-hmm. instead yeah. of taking out my unresolved frustration mm-hmm. on them, mm-hmm. right?
Wow. Yeah.
And it's crazy because once you do that, you are allowing the love of God to flow through you and you get loved on. And mm-hmm. then that person that might not even know God could see what an actual loving person, and they might be open to a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Right. So we love them. We see them in the image of God. Right. And now they're open to the love of God because you love them intentionally.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to tie it all together. You have any closing thoughts, Mariah?
I think your turn, right?
Oh. I think I couldn't really add much more to that. I think just have a conversation. Yes. I think that's a huge way to combat offense, is just have a conversation and also offer the grace that you extend the grace that you are going to need. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but to Rick's point is like, when someone offends me, the first thing I should do is not see them through what they've done, but the way that God created them. Because that's the way God sees us, mm-hmm. is through the finished work of Jesus. And so if I show up like that, like,
that wasn't even you. But I'm gonna tell you what you did though. Right. And then I'm gonna call you higher. Cause I think that's what the conversation does, right?
Absolutely.
It calls the person higher. Mm-hmm. It goes, you acted this way, and I know that at your core that's not who you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So me addressing it is calling you higher, which is love. Mm-hmm. Love leads you to truth. And so I think like there is a way to address the things that do hurt us. Mm-hmm. Also, addressing them allows me to release it and I don't hold it and live through it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. One more thing.
Don't be sorry.
We were talking about, we have so many episodes out about community, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And the people that are surrounding you, right? But I think it's so important to like really take a moment to reiterate how important the right community is having around you.
The right community.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because
healthy and mature.
Just like, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just like there are fruits of the spirit, there are fruits of offense, mm-hmm. right? And because there are fruits of offense, those people that are rightly supposed to be around you, right? The right community, they could say, hey, bro, hey, sis, you looking a little offended right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why are you so angry? Yeah. Why are you so irritated? For why are you so short with your responses? Yeah. You might be operating in offense right now.
No, for real. Mm-hmm. Accountability is huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And I got this thing where, like, if you don't tell me the truth, we ain't friends.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's I can talk to a person for about 30 to 90 seconds and tell if they got good friends.
Yeah.
Because the honestly, stuff that's coming out of your mouth, I know you don't got friends.
Right.
Yeah. I can tell. I can tell your circle and who they are and how they hold you or don't hold you down. Right. But in 30 to 60 seconds, maybe 90. I'm going to give you 90 seconds. I'm like, you need friends.
Yeah.
You need friends. Because real friends going to check you.
Yeah.
Before, you know what I'm saying? They're going to be like, hey, cool down. You need to go take a break?
Yeah.
You need to go take a walk. You know what I'm saying? You need some time at home by yourself.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
For
you need to read your Bible. You need to read your word. Because the reality is that if you like that and you out offending people, you probably ain't been in his presence. And you probably need to get in there and get you some prayer.
Yeah. That's a great takeaway, too.
Get you some prayer.
Yeah. My final thought is in the Bible, the enemy had to ask God, can I test your son? Which was, I think it was Peter or Paul.
As a joke?
It was towards the Last Supper.
He got to do that all
Well, you know, he tested love. Okay. He didn't love you. He had to.
Just read your whole Bible.
PT says it best. You're going to find it. But I know what you're saying, where he asked to sift them as wheat, right? Is that what you're talking about?
It's when he had to test somebody.
Yeah, that was the disciples. Jesus told them all. He said, you know, the devil has asked to sift you as wheat. That's what I'm talking about, right?
You know, it wasn't that. It was,
you gotta be careful.
No,
it would light you.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah, no. He specifically, the enemy had to ask he could test.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and so, if you be careful getting into the victim, like you know, mentality, and then also when you're asking God, like, why is this happening to me? If Romans 8:28 is true, like everything is gonna happen for my good, then ask God. Okay, do I need to be raised higher? Is my view like, help me see them how you see them, because if we're made perfect in his image, then he sees them like pure, you know? Yeah. And then he will sometimes, even in those quiet times that you're spending with God or talking to your friends, God will reveal really their heart, you know? Yeah. So,
yeah. I'll close it with two. if you find yourself offended, one is involve God in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the Holy Spirit, get in God's presence and say, Lord, I am offended. I'm angry. Do like David did. Search my heart, know my ways, reveal to me if there's any wicked way within me. And then number two, have a conversation, especially if the person who has offended you is a big part of your life. Go talk to them. Go understand where they came from. Allow you to communicate your side and give them space to communicate their side. Mm-hmm. And then come to a level-headed decision on saying, I love you. And because I love you and you've explained your side and I've explained my side, we're cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not as heavy. And then you're able to be free from that offense.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take it head on because you're the only person who's responsible for dealing with the offense that's in your heart. Yep. No one else can do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Shalom. May the Lord God bless and keep you.
Come on.
May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance over you and grant you shalom, shalom. That's perfect peace, family. But no, in all reality, July the 28th, Go Night, live in Los Angeles. We're also going to be figuring something out to stream it to you if you are not in LA, but July 28th, be in the building. I'm going to clap like this because I want to, so be here.
Bro, stop being a hood baby.
Hey, man.
Stop being a hood baby, bro.
Brandon, thank you again. But we'll catch y'all soon. Love you. Peace.